We read the introduction of the publisher and the guidelines, the few words of guidelines that were set by the Rebbe, by the Piazetzna. And now it's time to begin to learn the Sefer itself, page 11. It's not easy. He's talking about things that concepts that we're unfamiliar with. In general, his Svarim are written in an unusual style and are written in such a personal and intimate way that for those who are not used to it, it's somewhat shocking how it's written. The whole way of talking to the reader is unique. Let's begin. Eis Aleph. HaPosuk Mi'asir Yisrael V'Omer. We find the pasuk that we're going to be reading soon, the pasuk in Hazinu. So the pasuk is rebuking, admonishing the Jewish people. Va'imer, and it says, "Vatishkach kel mechalelek." That "Vatishkach kel mechalelek" means that the Jewish people have forgotten the God who gave birth to them. We forget the one who has given birth to us. This is the main cause that distances man from God, from Hashem. It says in the tefillah of the Rebbe Elimelech, that the Rebbe Elimelech wrote in his tefillah that may we strengthen, or may Hashem help us to strengthen our thoughts, that they should be clear, they should be pure and strong. The kol ish yadeya should be im hayaraya be'ein of mamish eichu omed lifnei Hashem. Every one of us knows that if we would be able to see with our eyes, if we'd be actually be able to see with our eyes how we're standing every moment of our lives before Hashem, la hayo leshum yetzahar, there wouldn't be any problem with the Yetzirah. If this would be something we could remember and feel, we would never have any difficulty with the Yetzirah, with the evil inclination. Adirabba. As kol nafsha v'kol nishmasa haya moitzi b'diburim kedoshim lefnei Hashem, we would express with words, we would express our entire soul, our entire being, every moment before Hashem. Feeling his presence, feeling that we're standing in his presence, if we would see that clearly, every single second we would spend talking and expressing these feelings.
Realize that we're every second that we're standing in front of Hashem, isn't that the eighth of her as well?
That itself is the problem. Yeah, it's also part of the eighth of her that we don't realize that. That's true. Achi is batal kulo on page 11 viskalal al yadehem boyisbarch, until we would lose a sense of ourselves, we would become completely swept up in elikus and godliness. Vloizu avzu shebishor shavak daito machshavto chazok b'Hashem. And not only that, even if we don't see Hashem, so to speak, we don't see Hashem in that clear way. Nevertheless, the mind is set, the mind is strong, and one's thoughts are focused on Hashem. He says, "Gam kein margish kol echad ba'atzmai bitla yetzahara." That moment, when your mind is focused on the Rebbeinu Shlom, you don't have to struggle with the yetzahara. You don't feel that problem. V'chol arsa shemefafeya b'chushay gufay b'teilim oz l'Hashem, and the poison of the yetzahara that usually is bubbling in all the senses and one's body, become completely bottled, become nullified before Hashem. V'ha'im ein kol echad miYisrael margish l'moshel b'yom kippurim u'befrat be'ez kol nidrei u'ne'ila bitl kol taiva hira rotzen le'taiv. He says, isn't it true that even the simplest Jew on Yom Kippur, certainly by kol nidrei and by ne'ila, he has no problems at all with his Yetzirah? There's no issue of the Yetzirah. That Yetzirah, those thoughts that generally throughout the year make him crazy, that don't allow him peace and don't allow him a moment to concentrate on what's real and what's true, when it comes to Kol Nidrei Ne'ilah, he doesn't feel in the slightest bit tempted by these things. It doesn't even enter his mind. Why? So the Rebbe says, because during Kol Nidrei Ne'ilah, the mind is strongly attached to Hashem. So can you imagine, he's saying, that if a person would be on that madrega where he would mamish roya be'enav, he would constantly feel, it would be as if he would see with his own eyes that he's in God's presence, then he would never have to have a problem. He wouldn't have to have all this tzaros of the Yetzahar. Kol ikach yisarim shal nefilas adam. Therefore, the Rebbe says, the main deficiency and main cause of man's failures, of men's nefilos, huvatishkach kel mechaleleka, that he forgets the God who made him. He forgets that. He doesn't think about it. Shenoyfil mimachshavtai, he's not able to remember this. Veinozaka bor v'chazaka tamid, and even though, of course, he believes in Hashem, but that awareness is not one that is strong, that is clear. K'moy b'yom ha'kippur mechadayme, the way that it is on Yom Kippur. And even if the person wanted to increase, to strengthen, to intensify his das, his machshava, his thoughts of Elokus, of God, he can't go on for a long time. He can't continue with that thought. The Kevin Shekain, and because of that, kol avadoseinu tzvich elios eich lechazik es machshavoseinu l'harchiva l'chazka l'shachla l'kashra l'Hashem Yisbarach. Therefore, and that's the underlying, this is the underlying motivation to write this small sefer. He says that therefore our avoida must focus on methods of strengthening, broadening, expanding, clarifying our machshavas in order to attach them to Hashem. That we should be able to, that the whole year one should be able to live with that clarity of Ne'ilah, of Kol Nidre, and more than that, because even our Kol Nidre's and Ne'ilah's are not the way they should be. That one should be able to live that way throughout one's life. And that's why, you know, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. The problem is forgetting. Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, and it's called Rosh Hashanah, the mind of the year, as the Tanya explains, the mind which itself controls all other aspects of the human being's behavior. So the Tanya says that if something is wrong with the Rosh, if there's something that's wrong with the brain, God forbid, if something is missing, it's not the same thing as if there's a finger missing or if there's damage to another organ or a limb. If there's something that's wrong in the Rosh, God forbid, in the brain, then the entire body is influenced by that. Similarly, Rosh Hashanah, which means the mind or the beginning of the year, is a time of Zikaron. Primarily, it's Yom HaZikaron. It's to be able to strengthen one's memory. But we're not talking here about just, it's not just a question of remembering, as we would normally use the word remembering in a secular way. Remembering, it's not a question, I remember, you know, who won the 1956 World Series. It's not just a question of remembering. It means intensifying, clarifying one's thoughts of Hashem's presence in such a way that one feels always that he's standing before Hashem. And that's what the Seif is about, how to strengthen and clarify these thoughts. Sheloi rak bezmanim elu b'Rosh Hashanah b'shas hatkiyas, that we shouldn't have to go waiting an entire year, just so that for a few minutes of the whole year we were able to have this clarity, like Rosh Hashanah by the time of Tkiyas Shofar, Yom Kippur, Mechadayim, and Yom Kippur, and so on. Ragam tamid tia bara chazaka ukshur b'kedusha. Whether it should always be clear and strong, and the mind should be attached to Kedusha. Is beis. V'hine lefiha emes. Truthfully, avaydes ha-machshavet tzvichi lahaschel milamata lamali. He says, in truth, the proper order for purifying one's thoughts and strengthening one's thoughts should begin from below, meaning should begin from the beginning, which is what? Mitchila yitahir es gufay. The proper order would be that one should first go about purifying his physical life, working on himself in terms of his physical avodah, And Mela v'oz machshavta mimela titayr v'tischazik. This is the normal, healthy Seder. And the mitzvahs, of course, are all designed to help us purify our bodies and to live a life of purity. And that ultimately has a tremendous impact upon our minds that we'll be able to focus more on holy things. That's the lechatchila. That's the general order of one's avoda. One does not begin with the intellect, with that higher realm of our beings. All mitzvahs, but particularly those mitzvahs that are geared towards intensifying one's tahara. But all mitzvahs have this effect on the person. So then why am I talking? So the Pizestin is explaining, then why am I writing a sefer and speaking about beginning this way? It's not the normal seder. The normal seder is kodem kol with the guf. You purify the body with over years and years of avodah so that one could come to a madrega, come to a level of being able to have a machshava bara, to have a clear thought. But he says, but aval b'deres harishonim shekevan sheeschilu ba'avodas v'taharis aguf gemura v'taharuha. He says, because the reason that we're starting now this way is because in the earlier generations, they were able to go in the proper Seder, and they were able to come to a point where their body would be entirely purified, where their physical lives would be purified. And they reached a level of purifying the thoughts with a body that already was trained in submitting to holiness. It was trained, it already obeyed the orders of Kedusha. So, that's certainly, therefore, in the earlier generations, that certainly was the proper order. That was the proper order, and that's the way it was done. Then in the early years, in the adolescent years in particular, and growing up, the ikkar was not so much a question of where my thoughts are holding, where my mind is, how much I understand, but the ikkar was training the body through kiyum hamitzvahs and intensive kiyum hamitzvahs, training the body to submit to the will of the neshama, and then from there to come to a madrega, to come to a level where one could actually work on his thoughts. Loi kein ata, page 12. However, this is no longer the case. We can no longer, generally, we cannot do this. B'dor shel ikvus de Mashiach, we are now the generation which is called ikvus de Mashiach, which we've often spoken about. It means the footsteps of Mashiach, but it means we are the generation of the feet. That means we begin with the feet. That we no longer are in such a level, we're on a madrega, rather, of the heel, which is that part of the body which is almost incapable of feeling anything. The heel is so insensitive. So we're now in this period of Ikfus of the Mashiach, Dor Nomach, Dor Shalakavim. We're a generation of heels.
Since when we like that?
Ikfus of the Mashiach, and when did it begin? I don't know if it's possible to put a date on it, but he's just saying that. I don't know when did that begin. Certainly not from Yaakov Avinu. It's talking about the end of time, right? Ikfus of the Mashiach, it's the end of time. So whenever that began, that we no longer have the spiritual capacity that we once had, in terms spiritually, the terrible weakness that set in, and also chulshas haguf, the physical weakness. It used to be. Listen, he's going to explain. He's in the middle of a sentence. He says v'gam chulshas haguf, the physical weakness as well. Because it used to be that, you know, to tell a Jew that he had to get up for slichas 4 in the morning was in the old days, by our grandparents, was nothing. It didn't mean anything to them. and to us, it would require, you know, it would require complete reorientation and maybe even some type of therapy that we should be able to survive. So v'gam chulshas haguf, so there's a chlishas hadas, there's a weakening on a spiritual level, and there's a weakening even in a physical sense. Geremes harbe leheder hamemshola, shiuchal ha'ish limshola atzmal v'al gufay. The man has become terribly weakened. He He's not incapable of it, but his ability to be moishel, to rule over himself emotionally and physically, has been terribly, terribly diminished. The kashamaskel atas avadosa begufa lezachachay lekadshay zu v'zu le'olsa biyodo. So if man now begins with a very difficult work of purifying his physical life, of purifying his body, without the mind being excited, without the mind being filled with elikus, but to sort of faithfully, obediently, and somewhat coldly carry out this process of purifying the body, he says nowadays, one would never finish the job. We just don't have that motivation. We don't have that drive to go about doing that. Loisha haguf yitayer umikol shekein hamachshava shlei noga v'lei nosla zakoisa ulechazka. The body would not become purified, and certainly the mind would never become purified. Shenish arab in the michusa would remain in its low state, chashke, its darkness, meusa umufugelis, disgusting. Lachain srichim lahaskalas avayd v'machshava. Therefore, nowadays, we must begin by addressing the machshava. He doesn't mean a five-year-old, a six-year-old, but we must work from the time that we're aim de maldatenu, that we're beginning, that we're able to understand, we must appeal to the machshava, we must strengthen the machshava. So even though it used to be that one would begin from the simplest avoidance and focus, and there were many, many Jews who lived simple lives, but lives that were pure and lives that were holy. Nowadays, we have to work in this more, this is a bedavid, we have to work in this more sophisticated seder, this order, and this sophistication here is not rachmanis. But we have to begin by addressing the minds and the hearts, and if we don't purify the mind, then that individual will give up hope in never purifying his body. Therefore, I have called our group, the Pi Zetzner says, I have named this Chabura, B'nei Machshava Toiva. Those who are attempting to purify their thoughts, to improve their way of thinking, B'nei Machshava Toiva. Kishma Kein Hi, and that's exactly my intention, L'chazek, to strengthen Ulegalos Machshava Toiva Banu, to strengthen and to reveal our ability to have these clear and pure thoughts, l'shachlo l'harchiva, and to broaden our way of thinking, to expand our awareness, shleitia daka min hadaka, that it shouldn't be so faint and tiny, he'ora oiveris, it shouldn't be just an illumination that passes, only it's like a spark, shemiskaba b'mehera, that 10 minutes after ne'ila, it's already out. Here during Kol Nidri in the Ila, the mind is so clear. If you would come to somebody during the Ila and say, listen, I want to talk to you, the person would say, what, are you crazy? And how much more so if someone would come to you during the Ila with something that comes from the other side, from impurity, you would reject it and you would be disgusted, you would loathe it. Why? Because your mind is so clear. But a very short time after the Ila, that spark of awareness is extinguished. And as a result of that, we fall into that world of Batishkach Kel Mechaleleka. We forget the God who created us. He says, Rakzaka v'chazaka acha es kol haguf tachnia. We have to begin with the machshava, to strengthen the awareness, the intellect. And the intellect here, of course, does not mean how smart you are. Well, of course, that's not what we're talking about. And we'll see, of course, throughout the sefer what this means. But we have to strengthen one's thoughts. So that what? So that the body will submit. So that the mind will be able to rule over one's emotions and one's physical life. The kolchushav tibatal tachteha, that all of your senses should subjugate themselves to the strength of those thoughts, to that clarity of understanding. He tisraya v'hi timshal ba'adam, that the machshava, the thought, should appear. We should be able to sense this, and they will rule over our lives. He says, for instance, look at this. He says, Certainly, when we come to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, we haven't become, our bodies have not been purified. We did not spend years purifying our bodies. And afal pichein, and nevertheless, despite the fact that we have not really worked to purify our bodies, we can come to that clarity of machshava. Our minds can be clear, Rosh Hashanah, by the tkiyas. The minds can be perfectly clear and set by kol nidreya, by ni'ila. Even without the preliminary and prerequisite of purifying the body, we're able to achieve this. It happens suddenly, in a flash. Mamish, in a moment, by kol nidreya, by ni'ila, the person is completely purified of any desire of any inclination towards things that are physical. Mamish couldn't care less. Doesn't bother him. The whole Yetzirah doesn't bother him. If we see that we're capable of this, and it happens so quickly and so powerfully on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then why should we allow this thought, this clarity to leave us? Why should we allow this strength, Ruach Gvurasa, this powerful strength of the Machshava, why do we allow it to fall asleep and to rot? And it's and that laziness that is within us. Why do we allow it to rot? Because of our laziness, why do we allow it to rot? Ois Gimel. Shichlul shituach v'chizuk ha-machshava. Therefore, clarifying and strengthening the machshava, our thoughts. Zehu Yisoid Chavaraseinu. This is the Yisoid of our Chabura, of our group. The Ikahem Tsoy Shal Yoda Nuchlis Kasha Ba'avaida. And this is the main way that we are going to attach ourselves to serving Hashem. Loi Bebchines Bechor Hashivcha Asha'acha Harichayim. We are not going to settle anymore. We are not going to settle anymore to be like the child of the maidservant who lives. By the grindstone. We're not going to settle anymore for that kind of Yiddishkeit, for a Yiddishkeit that is merely one of forcing ourselves to lethargically and somewhat begrudgingly go through the task of Kiyum HaMitzvos. We're not going to settle for that anymore. Ela Kivbein, we're going to become children. We're going to be like a son. Shemargish as Kervusa Shel Aviv, who feels, who senses the closeness of his father. And he is able to hear, to listen to the conversation, to the words that his father has to say to him. He's able to hear this conversation. Vihine kol ikar kushias v'kayved ha-machshav shekoshalei la-ha'ish l'choska l'bli l'ha-ha-ha-praisa himi-bei-sivis. The Rebbe now explains. There are two main reasons that create this difficulty that we are not able to strengthen our machshava. There are two main causes for our difficulty in strengthening the machshava, strengthening our thoughts. Aleph, heder hisayrus. We are lacking in motivation. We're not motivated. There's nothing to awaken us. Bein hislavus shel simcha. We don't feel a hislavus, an excitement. In terms of joy, a joyous excitement, or ben shel shviras alev, or even if it's the opposite type of excitement, there is an excitement that of a Jew whose heart is broken. It's not a pleasant feeling. He'd rather feel the excitement and the awakening, the arousal of a joyous of that feeling, joyous and feeling good. Afal pichein. At least when the person's heart is broken, it means that he is aware, he's thinking, he's feeling, something is happening.
This is when he's davening.
he didn't say davening, davka.
So how come we all of a sudden don't feel sadness and
then... He didn't say sadness either. The difference between atzvus and shviras alev is very, very important. Atzvus is a sin. Sadness is a sin. Shviras alev, a broken heart, is the essence of being a Jew. He's not talking about sadness, God forbid. So he says, "Ubein shel shviras alev ki b'chol shah she'is Yisrael metaher Mislahev, when a Jew purifies himself, and he's mislahev, and he becomes excited. Va'afilu b'ma'at isayrus, even with a little bit of isayrus, even when there's just a little bit of that awakening. Kvar machshavta yoyseh chazokah, then every one of us knows that when you feel excited, then your mind becomes stronger. You're able to focus more. When you feel motivated inside of you, when there's a spark, when there's a fire that begins to burn, then that vagueness and cloudiness that we schlep around within us suddenly disappears. Even with a little bit of his iris. And the mind is able to rise above the silly preoccupation and dimyonis, illusions of physical life. And this is what we see in Yom Kippur, that when we're even a little bit inspired, when there's a little bit of inspiration, when there's a little bit of excitement and motivation, by a nila, a kol nidre, already the machshava begins to be pure. The thoughts become purified. Rak, kishalibai umoichai mitumtamim, it's when the heart of a person, when the mind, they're completely paralyzed, dulled. Then chaseirulei machshava ilah, she'enu gufonis, then you cannot think of anything that's not physical. All your thoughts can only be physical. If your heart and your mind are dull, are paralyzed, then you're not able to have thoughts that are unrelated to physical life. All your thoughts are related to physical things. Ubiyoyse kishiyeshlo atzvus chas v'sholom yehuda. And particularly, if God forbid a Jew is sad, sadness means that everything is shut down, the whole system is shut down, the heart, the mind, everything is shut. She'ein zeis shviras umiriras halev. Sadness is not the same thing, God forbid. That's the essence of chassidus. Sadness is not the same thing as a person whose heart is broken. The person whose heart is broken is filled with a longing to change, is resolved to do something about it. The one whose heart is broken. The person who's sad has lost hope. The broken-hearted person hasn't lost hope. The Kotzke said there's nothing as whole as a broken heart. There's nothing as perfect as a broken heart. That's a very great midah. He says, "She'ein zayis shviras umiriras halev." When a person is sad, that's not the same as a heart that's broken. Rak min heder v'timtum. It's just something that's missing. It's a dullness. It's a paralysis. The person who's depressed withdraws, retreats from thinking. The person whose heart is broken enters into the battlefield of thoughts, engages his thoughts, begins to think of what can he do to escape this misery, this craziness. The person who's sad. It's sad. You just order cable television and a pint of ice cream and gemarlo. You're finished. You know, you're done. K'may she'isa b'shem harav. And this is what was taught by the Rav. He means the Baal HaTanya. When it says nechassish is from the Rav, it means the Tanya. He was called the Rav. U'k'may she'margish ha'ish ha'yisraeli. And the way that a Jew feels. He feels that his heart is broken. He feels that his heart is mamish broken. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, once said, he once gave a scream on Yom Kippur, and nobody knew what he was talking about, and they asked him after Yom Kippur. All of a sudden he gave a scream out, and he says, "You know how a Jew has to do tshuva? You know how a Jew has to do tshuva?" And they were expecting one of the Tanya's, you know, drushes. He said, "Like the Goyin Vitebsk." And that was it. And then he continued davening. Like the Goy in Vitebsk. Vitebsk was an important city. Like the Goy in Vitebsk. So after Yom Kippur, they sent one of the elders of the Chassidim to ask the Tanya, what's that with the Goy in Vitebsk? So he says that the Goy in Vitebsk, he says, in Vitebsk, the city was divided by a river. It still is. It's divided by a river. And now there's a bridge to get from one side of the city to the other. But in those days of the Tanya, they used to have to take little boats, like ferries, to get across. And what happened was, the Tanya said what happened was that there was, it was a day, it was very, very windy, it was very bad weather, and there were a group of goyim, And they decided it's too dangerous to cross the river to the other side of town, of Vitebsk. And they decided they'll stay put. But there was one guy, the Tanya said, there was one guy who didn't listen, and the friends begged him. The other guy begged him, don't go. It's dangerous today. And he went. And they were standing there by the banks, by the shore of the river. And he was in the middle of the river, and the boat capsized, and he died. He drowned. So the Tiny said, could you imagine that feeling that he had when he was going down? And the boat turned over. Was, I can't believe I didn't listen to them. I can't believe I didn't listen. How could I have not listened? So he says, that's how a Jew's heart is broken on Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's how your heart breaks on Yom Kippur. I can't believe I didn't listen. I can't believe. And the chiluk is that you could turn the boat over again. You could climb back in. So Tanya said, that's how a Jew does tshuva. Maybe the guy in Vitebsk, that's a tshuva. So that's not falling asleep. That's not falling asleep. That's agitation. So he says, the way that you feel on the night of Yom Kippur, that your heart is broken, he says, next page, the heart and the mind are completely open. That's why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Su Shar Mer Sheichem, right? The whole Kapitel Tehillim, Mizmor LaDavid, not Mizmor, LaDavid Mizmor, Lashem Haaretz V'Melah Tevel V'Yeh, right? Su Shar Mer Sheichem, the whole Kapitel of the opening of the gates. Again, Yom Kippur night, Rosh Hashanah, the gates are completely open. You're heartbroken, but the gates are open. U'b'chol Hashanah, Shechas V'Sholom, Hu Ba'atzvus, the entire year, God forbid, a Jew is depressed, he's sad. Neufel Hu Be'ein Leiv. He has no heart. Hu Be'ein Machshav, he has no mind. So this is the first impediment. This is the first problem that we have. We can't expand the domain of our thoughts, of our minds, because we have no motivation. We're unmotivated. We're uninspired. And if a Jew is uninspired, if there's no spark of inspiration, then mainly he remains with thoughts that focus only on the stupid and simple things of this world. And those stupid and simple things could be very, very intelligent stupid things. They could be stupid things, but nevertheless, they're not. I mean, they could be matters that require great intelligence, but they don't relate at all to one's neshama, to the essence of oneself. So we're lacking, he says, in the very beginning of any motivation, of any spark of excitement or interest. So how can we expand the domain of our thoughts if we're so limited in any inspiration that would open up the gates of ourselves? We're closed, we're paralyzed. He says the whole year we go Be'ein Lev, without a heart. Not without a heart bechlal. Be'ein Machshava, without a thought of spirituality. V'oid, now he said there were two main reasons, two main problems. This is the second one. V'oid, chisaron. Yeshbo, there's another problem. V'hum mum tiv'i. She'ein lo bechlal machshava chazaka. He says this is a second problem that one is born with, and this is something that it would seem that it's not possible to change. It would seem that means that a person is born with, he's lacking certain kaiches seichel. A person doesn't have necessarily, he's not born with a strong ability to focus, to concentrate. He's lacking in the powers of concentration. If you tell a person who doesn't have a strong mind, if you tell him a certain chiddush, something deep, something profound, something a dvar chachma, you tell him something profound, he doesn't get it. What's not his fault? There's a certain natural deficiency in the guy. There's something missing. He has a small mind. And because of this natural chisaron, this natural deficiency, therefore this Jew, even when there is an awakening, even when there is that Yom Kippur, that Rosh Hashanah, there is a spark of awakening, and his mind becomes agitated. His mind becomes alive. His mind is awakened. umischazakis, and it becomes strengthened. Eina chazaka k'moshe tzrichelios. It just doesn't concentrate the way it's supposed to. It doesn't last. It doesn't have that ability to focus and to concentrate. No, he's talking about there are specific individuals who suffer more from this than others.
But not all of you talk about everybody.
Right. Until that first one, these are both problems. The first one seems is something that everybody has, the different periods in his life goes to different times. The second is more limited. Right? Like they say, you know, Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, the Kohen from Lublin, so they used to see him after Marv, he would be standing by the bookcase in the shul after Marv, and he would be looking at a certain sefer, and he'd have his foot up on the chair, leaning, looking at the sefer, and they would come back there 6:30 in the morning. He'd be in the exact same place, you know, on the exact same page. Now you know that the Kohen from Lublin was a genius, so it wasn't that he had problems. You know, it wasn't that he was working on the taich, on translating the page. He was, you know. It was like something we can't imagine. He didn't budge. He didn't budge from that thought that there's such that there's a person that is able to, that a person's able to stay with a thought, to focus on that thought, and not to give up. You know, our experience in yeshiva, especially during chavrusa time, you know, that you feel if you're able to put in. Out of an hour, a half hour, 40 minutes, the Chazon Ish said that a masmid is not someone who sits for a long time. It's not someone who learns for 12 hours. A masmid is someone who learns 60 minutes in an hour. Someone who's able to stay to concentrate and focus on the Gemara, on what he's learning, without taking his mind. Try it. Try it, even if we exercise and try just to keep a thought, to hold on to a thought for more than 5 minutes. We're not used to that. We're not used to that. We grow up in a way that there's like a film that's playing inside the brain at fast speed. And we're jumping from one thing to the other. and because of that, even a person who has strong intellectual capacity, he never discovers it. Because he never stays long enough in a thought to really get to the bottom of it. He's constantly moving. He's frantically jumping from one thought to another. He doesn't have that type of power of concentration. So the Rebbe's not talking about someone who's necessarily dumb. One should make. He's not talking about someone that's dumb. I mean, this guy could have the highest scores on the IQ or an SAT. He's not a dumb person. But the machshava is not a strong machshava. He's not a balbas. He doesn't have bilus over his machshava. It jumps. It goes. It's here. It's there. It doesn't cultivate an idea. It doesn't stay with an idea. There are people who are. I know someone. Who's Davka is not particularly bright, but his success years ago in school and his success now professionally, it seems to me I attribute completely to his powers of concentration. It's unbelievable. The rest of us, we used to have, you know, it was before finals. So, you know, it's like 15 minutes we study, you know what, now it's chapashmuz a little bit, and then we study for another 20 minutes. Pastrami's in, which then it's time for, you know, and we go like this hours and hours. And this guy had no part of this. He was very wonderful. He's a wonderful, friendly guy, but when it came time to study, he had no part of this. And he had a weaker mayach. And, you know, his grades were excellent, but the way that he had to work for that was he would put himself and he would isolate himself. And he was able to sit without taking his mind off of his work for hours on end. When the rest of us couldn't hold it for 15 minutes, a half hour, he was ready, I must speak. I mean, I can't take this. And he had this power of concentration. And it's the same thing when it comes to learning. And he has seen Hatzlach, this person, this friend of mine, has seen success in his learning. Even though in class he was never able, one that could say a sharp svara. He wasn't the guy that came up with that, you know, that beautiful chiddush. But he's able to sit on the page of a Gemara and he won't give up until he gets it. And he'll go over it 20 times. And the guys that are sharper, they'll move ahead and they never got it. And he has it. And he remembers it. Not because he has such a great memory. He reviews it over and over. And until he acquires it. Bekinyin Meshicha, Bekinyin Hagbar. He acquires it mamish. So we're lacking in this. We're lacking in this ability to focus. So Aleph was, we're missing this motivation and excitement, and Beis is that we have Kleine Kefalach, the minds are small. The minds have become constricted. And because of this, even at the time of Hesiris, it's very small, even at the time of when we're excited in the Yom Kippur, or by Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So he says that, and he hears something. So it doesn't last. That's what he says. V'hira k'ein bal seichel k'kotn, sh'gam k'n machzik l'famim m'sichloi, l'hovin eiz d'var chochm b'havin osa ha'mu'atis. Even a person with a small seichel, he could sometimes, for a moment, he's able to hear a good piece of lomdus. He could get it for a minute. Elisha kol machshavtoi, hurak b'shas eiz levad. You could have a person that when he's hearing the shiur, at the time he's hearing the shiur, he's got it. He's excited emotionally and intellectually. But then if you ask him what was the shiur about, it's not clear. He can't say it over. He starts to get nervous and perspire. He can't say it over. You know, and if you can't say it over, it's like they say in Brisk. I mean, that means you don't understand it. If you can't say it over, it means you don't understand it. So. B'shas Maisi had it, but he wasn't able to run with it. And that's V'hakach Shuv Nederes Himeno. It disappears. Klema, Ha'ish Bal Machshove Chazaka Oz B'shos Shemisoyre U'mislahev Machshavto Mischazekes U'bara. He says the person, the Bal Machshove Chazaka, when he has this strong awareness, at that moment that he's excited, that awareness becomes intensified and becomes clear. For a moment, he's able to experience that clarity of the Jewish people, of what a Jew should feel. Every Jew is a Ben Navi. That means that a Jewish person was born. He has encoded into his genes the ability to be aware of something deeper. The ability to have thoughts that are profound. As Hashem Yisbarach v'kisei kvayda, he's able to have a thought, to have this desire regarding Hashem and the throne of Hashem's glory. Kol echad lefi matzav, each person according to his circumstances. Ad shafilo acharkach, achiris lahavusa, yochel lechis v'machshavta hakaduma lebli laharfaisa. And every Jew, he says, has the ability, even after the moment of excitement, even after the moment has passed, after Yom Kippur, even after the Yom Nirayim, he's able to hold on to tap into that machshava. He's able to tap into that machshava. He's able to return to that clarity. Most of us, when we leave Yom Kippur, Rosh Yom Kippur, that's it. Goodbye. Until next year, Slichus, until you hear Kaddish. Right? But to be able to take that inspiring moment, to take that clarity that you had, and to be able to tap into it at will, and that's what the whole Sefer is about, at will. To be able to retrieve that thought when you want to, whenever you want to. L'tzayeloi gam ata, even now, far away from Yom Kippur, stam on a regular day, to envision, even now, as kvayd yisbarach, as shelofonav, the glory of Hashem that's mamash standing in front of you, that's right there. And this strong machshava, remember now we're in a generation, we're beginning, we have to strengthen our thoughts. He says from that machshava toiva, from that powerful thought, you can at will, you can awaken your emotions, you can excite, you can become excited once again. You can motivate yourself, b'chol eis, b'chol shor, whenever you want. Shemachshir es atzmo. You're able to go on the side, and within 2 or 3 minutes, you're able to get to that place of kol nidre. You're able to get to that place of ne'ila. Masha ein kein bal hamum b'loy machshava, but a Jew who's not thinking. Kol machshavtoi, this Jew, gam b'shor shem es oirim es life, even when he feels some motivation, even when it's a Yom Kippur, he's excited about Yiddishkeit. Harak nitzayt is only a tiny spark. K'may sechel hatipesh, like the way that the mind works of a fool. That it doesn't stay, it doesn't have any lasting power. It goes, it disappears. V'mikol shekein ba'avor his la'avusay ne'aderes mimenu kol min machshavi lo. And this person, the moment the excitement passes, so too All those machshavas are gone. All those deeper machshavas, all the clarity disappears. Mamish, right after Yom Kippur, it's gone. It could be after that. It could be after that piyut in the machzer. After that tefillah, it's gone. It doesn't even have to last Yom Kippur. It could be after that. It's like some people, it'll be an Asana Taik. If it'll be, you know, you say there are certain lines, and when you say those lines, But then afterwards, you return the rest of the machzer. I don't like this. Not so, I don't care so much for this part of the machzer. You know, it just doesn't. This doesn't get me. So even in Yom Kippur itself, v'rak midivrei ha'olam k'may milechem v'tapuchei adam u'mischar, only when it comes to things of this world is this Jew able to, is he able to, that's all he's able to think about. He's able to think about his bread and potatoes and business mischar. Yochel lachshav v'leyoyse, that's it, that's all he thinks about. Bread and potatoes, business, food, what to do about this and that. I have all these different things to take care of. And now they have so many machines, so you don't have to always think about what you have to do. Yeah, everybody's carrying around all computers and Palm Pilots and everything, and yet you can't get these things off your head, your mind. You don't have a moment to think about real things. Therefore, this Jew's, all of his Islavus, any excitement he has in his Yiddishkeit, it's mimela. It's not Navayit. If it happens, wow, it's great. Like, you know, there was a nice nigga that got me and I felt good for a moment. And then it's gone. Then it's gone. That's it. Kshabo l'moshel Yom HaKippurim. He says, l'moshel, when it comes to Yom Kippur, Eizaz man v'idan iloa mis'ayrer, when it's a time of mis'ayres, avol sheyiyah b'yodo l'ayres islavuso b'machshavtoi, o l'halas izatzme i'ev shaloi. But he is totally incapable. He has to go to a place where there are things there that are inappropriate for a Jew. And he has to pass through a difficult nisayon. Could you imagine if we were able to at will, to press that button inside of ourselves that'll take us back to Ne'ilah, so then what, you're going to be overwhelmed by the Eight Sahara? It's mamish a joke. So many people tell me that they have difficulties, especially when they have to go out of town. So you go out of town and you're by yourself and you're in some miserable hotel somewhere, and in the hotel they have in the rooms there's televisions, and the televisions contain all types of things that a Jew should never ever think of or see or hear, God forbid. And it's almost impossible to contend in that state of loneliness and being away and so on. But if a person were able to summon up within him Yom Kippur, how can you feel Yom Kippur? You're in some place like in Poughkeepsie somewhere, you know? Where's Yom Kippur? There's not a minion for miles. I'm who knows where. And what am I? I'm in some place that's filled with koiches of tumah in this place. I'm supposed to be Yom Kippurdik, but the Rebbe's saying, yeah, that's what this is about, B'nai Machshava Tova. To be able to have the ability to take hold of one's thoughts and to be the balabas and to come back to that clarity at will, when you want it. Sure, and that's why this is all, everything here is all the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, and using the means and methods that have been explained throughout the years in the Svarim of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov. But that a person should be able, we're so not used to thinking like that. I've told you many times here in Shul the Maisa from Kotzker, and I'm going to repeat, because here's where it fits in also, where there was a Jew who came to complaining to the Kotzker that when he davens he has terrible thoughts, he can't concentrate. So the Kotzker in his usual style said, what do you want from me? So he says, Rebbe, he says, help me. So the Kotzker says, so stop thinking about those things, and then you get out of here. So the guy goes home. He had to go to the shuk a little bit. He comes home and he sees the chassidim emptying out his whole house, taking all the furniture, everything he owns. And the wife is standing there screaming. The chassidim, they don't care. And he goes over and he says, what are you doing? What's the matter? He says, the Rebbe, the Kotzker told us to take everything. He says, what do you mean the Rebbe told you? Ich bin der Balabas. I'm the Balabas. It's my house. It's my furniture. What do you mean? They just keep on going, and he runs to the Rebbe, and he comes into the Kotzker, and he says, "Is it true that the Rebbe sent the chassidim to take all my furniture?" So he says, "So what?" So he said, "What do you mean, so what?" That's my furnace. He says, so what? He says, Rabbi, ich bin der Balabas. I'm the Balabas. I decide what comes in and what goes out of my house. So Kosky says, oh, Azoy, you hear this? When it comes to your furniture, you're the Balabas. You decide what comes in and what goes out. When it comes to your thoughts, these thoughts are coming into my head. Yeah, the thoughts are coming into you're the Balabas of your head, then send the thoughts out of your head. Aren't you the Balabas? You're the Balabas of what comes in and what goes out. That's your decision. We're so weak, we don't even realize we could, you know, this is like, what? I could actually, it's possible for me to have such a clarity. Stam is, you know, in a place like, you know, far from Yom Kippur, that I should be able to have such a strong machshava, that the same way that when I'm saying Ne'ilah, there's nothing of this world that matters to me other than being a Jew. That's it. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's nothing else in the world that matters. That a person should be able to have that clarity throughout one's entire life, throughout the entire year. That's the objective, that's the goal of the Sefer. Let's just start Ozdal for a few minutes. Aval lama b'emes, ein lo le'ish machshava chazaka. Why is this, that one does not have a strong machshava? Halei machshava einena seichel, shenemar lov, she'ein lo merch v'seichel chad, v'lei pilpulum v'chakiris, adraber, rakemun l'pshuta b'ashem anodoy shemata. He says, you know, we're not asking for someone to be a genius. We're not talking here about a Shagasaga, a Vilna Goyen, that you have to have such a sharpness. I'm not talking about writing up a beautiful pilpul, some fancy Torah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Emunah Pshuta, simple Emunah, to focus on your own faith, to focus on the Emunah that's within you. Ella Shalaita, hey, Emunah say Nelomaba, that your Emunah shouldn't disappear within you. That's what we're talking about. To believe in Hashem and to think about what you already have inside of you. Every Jew is a believer. Every Jew has faith. We're just talking about thinking about what you already have, thinking about what belongs to you. That you should just think about, meditate about your own emunah that the Baruch Hu put inside of you. Every Jew is a ma'amin. Every Jew believes. Every Jew has that emunah within him. And we're just talking about that you should be able to expand that thought, to take that thought that you already have, that's a poshut dezach, it's an emunah pshuta, simple faith, and you should be able to broaden, to expand it, that it should fill one's entire body. Why should this be missing in a Jew? Why should that taka disappear after a moment, after Kol Nidre? Shum ibnei Nevi'im, a Jew is a descendant of prophets. Not only that, but even now, as he explains in the Chavis HaTalmidim, a Jew has an extra sensory prophetic capacity. A Jew has the ability to feel something special. All right, we don't see the future. We no longer have a clear Nevuah. But the fact that we're bnei Nevi'im, the Rebbe explains in Chavis HaTalmidim, the same way that we have an expression in Hebrew like a person's a ben Tyra. What does that mean, that he's a ben Torah? It doesn't mean that he's a son of the Torah. It means that he is sensitive to. He's in the world of Torah. He looks at the world in that way through the Torah. How would the Torah look at this? So too, the Jewish people are called bnei Nevi'im. It doesn't mean that we're able to. It doesn't mean we're able to have a prophecy. Nor does it mean what kind of a praise is it to say that the Jewish people are descendants of prophets. So what? My Alta Zayda was a prophet. What does that mean? It means that even now we have a chush, just like a ben Torah. When you want to say someone's a real ben Torah, it's not big chachma to say that when he's in yeshiva, oh, is he a ben Torah? What's the big chachma? He's in yeshiva. Why shouldn't he be a ben Torah? But when that guy is out there someplace in Montana, and he's on some business trip, and there's a certain lifestyle and certain things that are going on, and he remains that person that he was in yeshiva, then we say he's a ben Torah. Why? Because he's taken the Torah and he's made it a part of him. He has a chush. He has a feeling. He's sensitive to the Torah. Not just B'shas Ma'isa. Therefore, every Jew is called a Ben Novi or a Bas Novi. B'nei Nevi'im doesn't just mean that our ancestors were prophets. A Ben Novi is a person who, no matter where, Dafka, he's away from prophecy, and yet there's something about him that doesn't allow him to feel at peace, to feel at rest without thinking about Hashem, without nurturing that natural emunah that's within him. He's not able to live that way. So the... It comes from there, of course.
So the Rebbe is saying, so we shouldn't have any problems. Why should that go away? A Jew is a b'nei neviim min dimyon zeh machshav ezu poshutu b'nei shelo yishtamish v'ovad b'kiroi. The Rebbe is saying, I'll answer the question. He certainly has this capacity for all that we're talking about, but if he never exercises it, he doesn't exercise. And you know how it is. He says, if you never use something, then it gets rusty, it gets flabby. You know, if your mind is never lifting weights, you know, so then what happens to the mind? He says, yeah, it's guidance, it doesn't work. I remember there was a, there was the boxer, Mahavdal, the Joe Frazier, you think? Was that his name, Joe, right, Frazier? He was a boxer. I think he beat Muhammad Ali or something like that. I don't know. Maybe. He was a chosh of a boxer. So they were once trying, I read about this in the paper, they were once trying, you know, to use him in a commercial suggest to his community that they should go ahead, that they should try to go to college and so on to seek an education. And there was that fund that was established for that community that they should move ahead with their education. It's a good thing. And what he had to say was, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I read in the newspaper that they did over 70 takes on it. Over 70 on the television. And he said, he said all kinds of modern things, like strange things, but he couldn't. And they had it written, you know, so then the last one, and then they gave up, and he didn't say anything. They just had it like a subtitle they printed. But the last one was that he went, huh? He looked at the thing, and he said, a mind is a terrible thing to have. So he said, a mind is a terrible thing to have. Mr. Meyer said, no. So what's going to be? A person lives in such a way that he never exercises his mind. You think you're going to stand him in front of you're going to stand him in front of a television camera, and you put a dummy card in front of him, and he still and his maskana, after all the amelus of the producers and the directors, the maskana is a mind is a terrible thing to have. I mean, that's the maskana. That's his conclusion. A mind is a terrible thing to have. So he says that if you don't use it, we understand this. He says, "Kein gam tivle shall kol koyach aguf." It's the same thing with the body. Shibim ena mishtamshim va'ovdim ima. If you don't exercise, if you don't use that part of the body, yachlish, it gets weaker. Yicholish, it becomes weak. Lo yareit elakevin shabaguf va'ibachushav hu oved va'ises tzarchav. He says, not only that, there's a bigger problem. You have a guy who, when it comes to his body and his emotions, whatever, hu oved va'ises tzarchav. The guy, let's say, you have a guy that he's always exercising. Oh, this is a guy. This is a guy that's constantly using his body and so on, or his emotions, whatever it might be. But he never uses that spiritual intellect. He never uses that. He's constantly exercising. He's playing ball, and he's doing this, he's doing that, and he's reading poetry. But he's never exercising the godliness of his thoughts. Right? Siura means the visions, the imagery. Right, he's never able to rise above. His intellect is never more than how many miles did I run today. His intellect never tells him more than what's for supper. Right, he doesn't go to that place, or it could even be a nice poem. But all of his thoughts are only revolving around this world. He never once exercises thoughts of the other world. So he says, what happens to that person? And he says, "Oz avoidas gufo macheshes es machshavto." Then what comes out is Joe Frazier. What comes out is that to the extent that he throws himself into physical things and thoughts of physical life, it's on the cheshbon of his spirituality. But really, there shouldn't be any contradiction. That's good. A person's healthy, exercises, there shouldn't be any contradiction. On the rabbi, that's the proper way for a Jew to be healthy. But that's only in a case where a person has that symmetry in his life, that balance in his life. But for that person whose entire thoughts revolve around this world and all of it that this world contains, then mimeil it's going to be on the cheshbon of everything else. It takes away from everything else. It weakens his thoughts. Ubedover kazem mishtamshim gam harayfim. Therefore, he says, you will see that the doctors, what they'll do, he says, is lachleish haatzovim shenis kalkula v'nis pagla machshavtoi. He says, what? He says, when you have a person, the psychiatrists, I guess he's talking about psychiatrists or doctors, when they see that there's someone when there's someone who's filled with anxiety, who's having like a nervous breakdown or something, the guy's, you know, he's losing it. So they see this guy. He says, what do? Miatzim oisay l'shamish rak b'koyach gufo. They tell him, they say to this guy, you stop thinking. Go on vacation. Do some hard work. You know, get into a boat and start rowing. Because this guy, the problem with him, he's getting totally verblunded and confused in that place of anxiety in his thoughts. So what do they tell him? They tell him, throw yourself into physical work.
No, it's very interesting. I just read in the radio yesterday, it was a doctors tried to do two groups. One of them, they gave them Prozac, and the other one, they gave them, they said exercise. And the one who exercised got rid of all the atzibus and everything.
Ah. Why are they showing him? Miatzim Eisel Lashamish Rak B'Koy Gufo. Focus on the body. Use your body. B'loy Machshav, without thinking. V'ozga Machshav Tehe Gufo Nis Machishu Metam Temes. And then we see the body, when you throw yourself into physical life, it has the ability to dull, to weaken the attachment to the intellect, to one's thoughts. The cave, let's make it to Isaac. The cave in Shekhen, Kshiroitim Anolav Soeb Siya Gaza Zum in the Michas HaGuf. If we want to really take a nice step up from the lowness of physical life of the body, El Avaydus HaMachshava, and we want to come to that world of Avaydus HaMachshava. Tzvichim Poshet Lahaytzi Legalas Bonu Machshava Chazoke Mechadosh. We have to draw out from within ourselves and reveal this once again, this Machshava Chazoke, a strong thought, Lahargila. We have to exercise. He's going to give us, the Sefer is filled with exercises. How to exercise your spiritual awareness, your thinking of Hashem. So even if you have that ability, it shouldn't go away. It should be strong, it should be healthy, it should be vibrant inside of you. The same way you teach a kid to walk. You show him slowly, he gets used to it. You go with him a little bit, and then the next day, a couple more steps. We will have a double reward. Not only will we discover within ourselves a higher way of thinking, a higher awareness that we didn't feel until then, but the poison of our physical senses will become weakened. Our obsession with physical life will become weakened. Through this avod of the machshava, the same way that when you're obsessed with physical things, it weakens your spiritual awareness and machshavas. We're going to turn things around. We're going to make you a person who's obsessed with the neshama, with that kind of machshava, so that your physical desires will, that your unhealthy physical desires will become weakened. The gam heim. That your body should be drawn into and included into that higher realm of spirituality of one's thoughts.